Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution made possible by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. When you sign up for our InvestTalk Insider program, you gain access instantly to an entire library of webinars like Survival and Opportunity in a Volatile Market. When you're ready to explore them, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab and sign up. End of commercial. And now, today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of InvestTalk. It is July 29th, 2016. Breaking the ranks of the average investor, we want you to rise above that crowd, make better choices, and enjoy financial independence. Everybody wants financial independence, but it takes a lot of work to get there. It's not something that just happens. You have to work at it. And we work at it every day. And on every Friday, I always go over some of the highlights in the premium newsletter I send out every Friday to all the clients. Now, our premium newsletter went out to all subscribers and clients today. And I always started off with the current market conditions section, which I mentioned today, the GDP numbers. Did you see the GDP numbers? We're going to talk about that more in depth later on in the show. But they weren't very good. And I talk about earnings that are not very good. Yes, they are beating their earnings expectations in general, but the earnings themselves are pretty poor. And I offered an accounting of the world economy, an effort to measure the likelihood of a Fed interest rate hike. Will they raise the rates? And I always cap off with a segment with our own position, KPP position, KPP financial, and what we're doing about it. Excuse me. There's been a lot of speculation about the Fed raising rates, but none about the Fed lowering rates. What if they decide not to raise the rates this year? What if the next move the Fed makes is lowering it? I think it's something that should be talked about. It should be talked about at least. And then there's a stock idea section. I give two stock ideas worth a closer look. Maybe put on your watch list. Portfolio management section talked about options this time, how they can be used to garner income and to be somewhat of insurance of your portfolio. Talked about that a bit. And of course, there was the consumer watch section in which I talked about, you know, in your life, you're going to have bad service, buy a bad product, do something in which you're going to have to file a complaint to try to get some satisfaction. And I've just went over with how to do that. You try to get your money back or you try to get satisfied first. You don't start by you know, threaten attorneys and lawyers and all that stuff because you want this to resolve the situation in your best interest. And I talk about the steps you take until you go get the lawyer. Okay, and that's in our letter, our premium news, weekly premium newsletter every Friday comes out. If you'd like to try it for a month, give it a try. Go to investtalk.com and scroll to the bottom of the page. You can try it with a money-back guarantee also. Now, do you have questions about the market, the trends of the market? Earnings, we're in the middle of earnings season, or any money questions, you can check in now or in our 24-hour listener line, 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278.
Hey, Steve, this is Steve calling from Bend, Oregon. I listen to you on podcast and really appreciate your show. Recently, you mentioned to a caller that about 30 or 40% of the gains of the S&P 500 over the past 100 years have been from dividends. And that if you reinvest the dividends, you have a very good chance of having good growth. So I've heard you previously say, so you mentioned the word reinvest the dividend. On previous shows, I've heard you say that you don't like to reinvest dividends. You'd rather have the money paid into your cash account so that you can move the money into any other account that you feel may be necessary. So maybe that's saying the same thing. You just reinvest the dividends yourself rather than having it automatically reinvested into the mutual fund. So I guess my question is, which is better, automatic reinvestment of dividends or having the dividends paid into my cash account? I'll look forward to hearing your response on a future show. Thank you.
Well, of course, that is a personal preference. I prefer to have my dividends put into cash, and I reinvest them in whatever I want to reinvest them in. Because the position I have that's paying the dividend is all the position I want. I don't want a heavier position in that, or else I would have bought a heavier position. But that's a personal thing. You know, you can reinvest the dividends right into the same company as long as it's a good, solid company. I just prefer to have it go into cash. Also, in the non-taxable accounts, it doesn't mess up my cost basis for tax situations when I do sell that position. Because if you keep reinvesting the dividends into the stock, you reinvest at a different price, so your cost basis changes over time. I just don't like the confusion that it has. And again, that's a personal thing of what I like to do. So, okay, let's try another question via our text message. Hi, Steve. I have a question about dollar cost averaging. A few days ago, you mentioned that ideally you would dollar cost average biweekly. I put money in my IRA biweekly, but if I bought shares biweekly, I would pay a lot in commissions to my broker. What I've been doing is putting money in biweekly, but only moving out the cash position once I build up a relatively large amount. Does this make sense to do, or am I doing something wrong? Well, dollar cost averaging in mutual funds shouldn't have any trading fee or trading cost. There shouldn't be any commissions in buying mutual funds if that's what your dollar cost average. If your dollar cost averaging into stocks, that's not really gonna work very well. I'm talking about, you know, when everybody mentions dollar cost averaging, they're talking about dollar cost averaging in mutual funds where there is no cost to buy, no trading fee to buy. So I'm not quite sure if you're buying dollar cost averaging into stocks, I'm not sure how that's working, because I need to talk to you about it to see what you're doing. But dollar cost averaging is all about dollar cost averaging in mutual funds. Okay, no load, no transaction fee, meaning no trading costs, and no commission, mutual funds. Okay, appreciate the call. Managed futures funds. Have you ever heard of those? Managed futures funds give you an access to an entirely different portion of the market untouched by the average investor, commodities. Talking about commodities, futures, the futures market. Managed mutual funds in the futures market. And it's another way to diversify. We're going to talk about that today. Also, a bullish sign in the market, something that has not happened in 40 years. And it's bullish. So we're going to talk about that. I want to discuss the GDP number that came out today for the second quarter. This is the first look at the second quarter GDP number. We'll talk about that. Also, the Bank of Japan disappointed investors and pundits about what they announced today. There was an expectation from Bank of Japan that did not fly. And in fact, it was a little bit unnerving what they said. So we're going to talk about that. Now I say it's unnerving to the market. For me, what they said is a breath of fresh air. So we're going to talk about what they said, Bank of Japan, and what they're doing. Those are going to be the talking points, but of course you come first. What is it? What's on your mind? We had a mixed market again today. The Dow was down 24, the NASDAQ up 7, and the S&P up 4. I noticed that the NASDAQ is trying to catch up with the S&P and the Dow. Did you notice that? The NASDAQ and the Dow, the Dow and the S&P made new highs, but the NASDAQ didn't. But it's getting awfully close now, so it's trying to catch it. What's going to happen? What do you think is going to happen? Pretty interesting stuff. Remember, we're up maybe 1 or 2% for the year. I mean, we're up very small for the year. Maybe 3. I don't even know, really, to be honest. I should do the math and find out. But I know it's very, very small because I look at charts. You know, I look at charts all day long. So I can tell you pretty clearly what just by looking at the chart what's going on. 888-99-CHART is our number. And I would love to hear from you. This is all about you. An average investor may be bored by the complacency of a bond investing strategy. Although this asset class does not offer the same thrill of stock market, it can greatly improve your financial health in many different ways. Fixed income benefits, not necessarily bond funds. And that's another info sheet that's available at investtalk.com for InvestTalk Insiders. So why not sign up? It's free. Click on the InvestTalk tab. And you're invited to use your phone to bring your question to me, 888-99-CHART, where it's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Give us a call.
Yes, this is Tom in Louisville. I'm 52, and in January I put $5,000 in my Roth IRA in the Vanguard Consumer Staples ETF, symbol VDC. I have another $1,500 to invest in my Roth at this time, and I was wondering, should I find another fund, or is it okay to invest in the Consumer Staples Fund? I want to know if you think the VDC is too high now, or if it has room to grow. Thank you.
VDC, that's Victor Dog Cat. Vanguard Consumer Staples ETF, exchange-traded fund. Of course, it's tracking the Consumer Staples 2550 Index, so you're betting on that sector. And it's done very, very well over the last couple of years. It has done well. So I would not continually put money in it. Remember, you want to balance your portfolio. You don't want to be in any one sector or one thing. You want to kind of spread it around, and you're trying to find the sectors, types, parts of the market that should outperform, and then you rebalance. Okay, so you don't want to have too much of any one thing. Now, of course, this index has a lot of stocks in it, 25 to 50, it's a 2550 index, so it has a lot of stocks. So inside it is diversified, but you are concentrating on one sector. So I would suggest you move to a different sector. And I might suggest a value portion of the market, the value, not the growth portion of the market. And if you want to get away from the stock market, you can do commodities. You could do precious metals. You don't have to stay with the market if you feel that the market is getting toppy. It might roll over. So it depends on what else you have and how diversified you are. But you want to have a well-diversified portfolio. I mean, that's the goal of everybody, have a well-diversified portfolio. Okay, and we're talking about commodities to diversify, and that's the main talking point today about commodities. And you don't have to be expert in commodities anymore. Commodities is a great diversifier away from the stock market. And there are ways to trade the futures market in commodities by buying a fund, a mutual fund or an ETF that does that for you. Okay, and there's a number of them out there. And what this will do is it will give you, it's really a great diversification tool away from the stock market with the possibility of making money. So I kind of like those ETFs that you can pick that diversify away from the market for when you want to be more defensive. Now, you need to be knowledgeable in what you're doing. So you don't have to be a commodities expert, but you kind of know how they work, what makes them go up, what makes them go down. It's called a managed futures fund. Okay? And I was just maybe for people, if you can't, you might want to replace some of your bond funds with this because, if interest rates do rise, they won't. I don't expect interest rates to rise much. But, you can diversify away from that. And it could be used sort of like a hedge against your equity portion of your portfolio, a hedge against the stock market, and still have possibility of making money. No matter what money topic you want to put on the table or make a comment about, we're here for you. Yesterday, we had a good discussion on possible Social Security solutions. Maybe you want to talk about reverse mortgages. We haven't talked about it in a long time. We count on you to put some of the talk in Invest Talk. My direct line is 888-99-CHART.
If you'd like to see more about KPP Financial Select Portfolios, like our Balanced Income Portfolio, just click on the Investments tab on investtalk.com.
Hi, this is John from Durham, North Carolina. Wanted to ask you about Whole Foods Market. WFM. I picked it up a few months ago, right around maybe 29.5, and it's kind of been bouncing off its support And then recently there was some news that was received poorly by the market, and so it took a dive a day or two ago. So I was interested in your thoughts about WSM going forward. Thanks so much for the show. I'll look forward to hearing your answer on the podcast.
Whole Foods, WFM, operates 431 stores. The problem is profit margins. They shrink. Their growth in sales is still there, but it's single digits, but it's still there. But when profit margins sank, the stock took a beating for that in the most recent earnings. So that's why you're having troubles with it. Now, the question is do you believe in the Whole Foods concept? Do you believe in the Whole Foods method, of healthy food, but at a cost? And that's the problem. It's costly. And we own Whole Foods in our managed account. We bought it some months ago in the low range, in the $29 range. It's now $30.48. But 2 days ago, it was $34. So that tells you how, just 2 days, it got beat up pretty good. And now that it's been beat up, it's too late for me to just go ahead and exit. There's a strong support at $28.50 or so. So I'm going to hold on to it for the time being. I'm going to hold on to it because I like the concept. I like the company. It has a 5-year PE average of 17 to 44, and it's a $30 stock with going to make $1.53 next year. So that tells you it's a 20 PE based on next year's numbers. I also like the fact that they're going to do some lower cost stores. They're going to open up a number of more reasonable priced, healthy food stores. But there's a lot of competition in that area. The question is, can Whole Foods hold that competition off? WFM. 888-99-CHART. I do have an email question that came in today, yesterday, or day before yesterday. And we'll get to that, and that's from Eon. We'll get that before the end of the show. A bullish sign. I wanted to mention a bullish sign, something that has not happened in 40 years. And as you know, I've been trying to weigh bullish and bearish signs off each other because I don't want you to think I'm overly negative or overly positive. If you're going to ask my opinion, do I think the market is going down or up? I think we're in for a correction before the end of the year, a pretty decent correction. And, that's my opinion. And, of course, I reserve the right to be wrong because, I don't have a crystal ball. But this is a bullish sign. And, again, something that hasn't happened in 40 years. We've had 11 days trading in which the range has been less than 1%. In fact, it's been 0.92% between a high and a low in 11 days. That tight of a range hasn't happened in 40 years. Now, what is it suggesting? What is it telling us? What can we take away from that? And that the reason why this is a possible bullish sign is because this range has followed a reverse head and shoulders pattern. See, it gets complex. So I'm talking about technical analysis. And you'll see that the market kind of took a dump a little bit in July, early July, late June. It sold off, and that was the head. And then it bounced back up, put in a little shoulder on the right, and then continued up with these new highs and been in this range for 11 days. And some technical analysis gurus think that's a bullish sign. Now, we'll find people with just the opposite opinion, too. Now, the question is are we ready for a breakout? It's because for it to be a bullish sign, you need a breakout above this 11-day trading range. It needs to break out. And break out with gusto, with more volume. That would make the bulls very happy. But we'll see. We'll see if that happens. I'm not so sure. I'm not convinced that that's what we're looking at. We had some economic numbers out this week. And housing that looked pretty positive. And then we had the durable goods report looked pretty negative, and that durable goods report supported that negative durable goods report, which was very negative, down 4%. That's pretty high. That's a big number. Was supported in the GDP numbers that came out today. Interesting. I have an email. Hi, guys. Love the show. I listen every day by podcast since I'm in the Midwest. I'm wondering if you could talk about the symbol HYG. HYG. And that's iShares, everybody. Exchange traded fund seeking the investment performance corresponding to the market liquid high yield index. Okay. High yield. When you talk about high yield, that means junk bonds. Okay, so it's a junk bond ETF. And I think I would stay away from it at this point. I would stay away from it. And he goes on and says, whether I think the return over the next 5 year average would be the same as the last 5 years, and the answer is no. And the dividend is supposed to be 5.5, which it is, 5.5%. Remember, high yield means high dividends. Don't fall in love with high dividends in high yield bonds, because there's a lot of default in that area. And I think this has run up, and it looks like it's top to me, and we might get a rollover here. I would not be part of HYG. Why would you consider investing in something less proven or less traditional than stocks and bonds? There are advantages. Maybe you want to talk about alternative investments. Bring your question. Share 888-99-CHART.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. And again, this is one of the few podcasts that enables you to be part of the program. So take advantage of this opportunity to speak directly with a registered investment advisor about any money matter. Call our anytime number between 4 and 5 p.m. Pacific time, and you can talk to Steve or Justin directly. It's 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We continue now with this Friday, July 29th, Invest Talk. If you're looking to lower your monthly payments by reducing your interest rate on your mortgage, your credit will be checked multiple times, likely. But will shopping for mortgage rates hurt your credit score? That's next time. What's your talking point? 888-99-CHART is how to reach us right now from anywhere in the U.S.
Hey, Steve and Justin, great show. This is Mark from Northern California, and I listen to you on the Internet. Anyway, I'm calling about ERJ, Edward Robert John. Would you buy this stock? It's in aerospace. I'd like ERJ. Would you buy it today? Okay, I'll look on the Internet. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, ERJ is Embraer SA ADR. It's a Brazilian manufacturer of aircraft for commercial and executive aviation and defense and security applications. A Brazilian company, okay? They have done quite well. I'm not sure if I'd be a buyer of it right now. They're going to make $2.01 this year. That's up from $1.48 last year. But then again, the year before, it was down from $2.24. Pretty erratic earnings there. And next year, they're going to make $2.02. So $2.01 to $2.02. Not much difference there. They have a good chunk of debt, and that's what I would be looking at. Why are they having so much debt? I don't like buying companies with heavy debt, and this company should not have that kind of debt. PE ratio is 27. It's an $18 stock, but it's 27 based on $1.48. Based on $2 and a penny, it looks fairly inexpensive at 9 PE, and the 5-year range is 11 to 94. So it looks fairly inexpensive when you looked at it that way. Sales have been erratic also, down 10% in the most recent quarter, up 24% the quarter before that, and it's been erratic like that. So the question is, what do you think of Brazilian economy? Looking at a chart, stock looks pretty bad. I mean, it really took a huge dump today, down 14% in one day. So you know there's bad news there, and it's probably all about earnings. So I would be very, very, very careful. It says that they're cutting their sales outlook. So they think their sales are going to go down. So, yeah, I don't really care. I don't care for it. It's not steady enough. It's not consistent enough. If for a company that's $3.3 billion size and it's too erratic, it's in Brazil, which the whole government structure is kind of pretty questionable. So I'd stay away from it. I would. Let's get back to the text message file. Hi, Steve and Justin. I am 12 years out from retirement. IRA has 33 stocks. Is it time to take profits on TJX? Bought it a year ago. TJX, got to type it in. And I don't know, but you may have, you know, if you're a shopper, you know all about TJX. Operates 3,600 off-price apparel and home goods stores with plans to open another 130 more in 2016 and 2017. Sales are growing 8%, 10%, and rising in the last couple of quarters. Earnings are going up. Those look pretty impressive. It's going to be up 5% this year, another up 12% next year to $3.89, and it's an $81 stock. So that tells you it's not cheap, right? The five-year average is 13 to 24, and the P.E. right now is around 24, and based on next year's, the P.E. is going to be, what, 20, 22? So it's not getting cheap. I don't like overpaying for stocks. Very good company, solid grower, and the chart looks pretty healthy, constantly marching up. So this is a momentum stock at this time. If you want to be a buyer of it, you ride the wave as long as the wave is going. But as far as a value investor, you wouldn't touch this stock. It's too expensive. A growth investor, you like the consistency and growth. Much better than the Brazilian stock we were just talking about. This one is very consistent, both sales and growth, year over year over year. So it deserves a higher PE. I just would wait personally for a pullback to be a buyer. It pulled back. It does pull back. It pulled back in June. I mean, it went down to $73 in June. You know, from 78 down to 73 and then started to back up. So, you know, that was what, an 8% pullback? Look for another 8% pullback. That's me. You know, some people may disagree with me. If we were in a raging bull market and the stock is doing what it's doing, a new 52-week high, I might have a different opinion. But we're not in a raging bull market. We're not in a bull market time of the year that you'd say just buy it because the market rallies this time of the year. That's the end of the year, the beginning of the year. We're in the summertime where usually there's some kind of pullback. Haven't seen it yet, but usually there is. So I wait for a pullback. Symbol is TJX, everybody. Time for InvestTalk Personal. Seniors struggling with debt. The average debt held by senior citizens has ballooned up in the past few years. It's always a slippery slope. The majority of these seniors had debt during their working years, and that has carried over into their retirement years. How many times do I have to tell you? You want to be out of debt, no mortgage, when you retire. Families headed by someone at least 60 years old had the largest increase in average mortgage debt in terms of percentage between 2000 and 2012. According to the St. Louis Fed, that you had a very interesting statistic. Only 24% of homeowners over the age of 62 had mortgage debt in 1992. Only 24% of homeowners over the age of 62 had mortgage debt in 1992, but the figure now has doubled to 45%. Okay, so that means most seniors still have no mortgage debt, but it's gone up. It should be going down, shouldn't it? So for the person who's not working, you know, if you're on a fixed income and you're still racking up debt, that's very dangerous. What if your health deteriorates? What if you can't work anymore? What if you're going to pay out health costs out of your pocket and you're already in debt? So you got to be careful, everybody. It's time to pay down debt. If you're getting close to retirement age, pay down debt. Get out of debt. You got to live within your means. And if your means are not very good, you still got to live within them. That's the way it is. You got to be disciplined. You got to be smart. And that's InvestTalk Personal. Do you have questions about any aspect of investing? Check in now. 888-99-CHART is the anytime number. Now let's go to Sonny in San Jose. How are you doing, Sonny?
I'm doing great, Steve. Thank you for taking my call. My question is about how does actually the CD laddering works? I mean, let's say if I have $10,000 and I have a time period of 2 years. So do I need to divide into 5 2,000 equivalent CDs buying at the same time for 3 months, 6 months? How does that work?
You're talking about laddering them. You can ladder CDs or bonds, and you can ladder them as long as you want. You're talking about laddering them out to only 2 years, which is pretty short. We go out with 5 years at this point in our ladder, but 2 years, you can still do it. And in the case of CDs, you would go out maybe buy a six-month one, a one-year one, an 18-month one, and a two-year CD. So four rungs of your ladders, because you're trying to get higher returns. When the first one comes due and you don't need that money, you roll it back out to 2 years, okay? So pretty soon, in a couple of years, all four rungs will be 2 years, but they're going to be coming due every 6 months. So that's how.
So you buy at time. You buy initially all four one at a time.
Yes, you buy them all at one time. You set up the ladder. So you buy a 6 month one.
Can it be replicated? Go ahead.
You buy a 6 month with $2,500, another a year CD for $2,500, then year and a half for $2,500, and then the 2 years for $2,500. There's your $10,000 used up.
I see. So can this be replicated to corporate bonds, individual bonds, you can do or treasury?
I do it with corporate bonds in my balanced income portfolio. I take half the portfolio, no matter what its size is, and I ladder the bonds, corporate bonds, high-quality corporate bonds, over 5 years. And I'm getting about a 4% return average right now. So that's what I'm getting.
Great.
Okay?
Wonderful. Thank you very much for the call, Sonny, for the call.
I appreciate it. And that's high quality bonds. I could do junk bonds and get more than 4%, but I don't want to take the risk. I'm managing the risk. Maybe you'd like to loosen the reins on risk and see your money grow. You can do that. You can always take more risks. KPP Financial has a program that is designed to do just that, and that's our dynamic growth program. Well, we buy stocks. We buy stocks we think are going up. We take more risks. The formula that we use is pretty flexible. We don't just stay in the stocks. We don't just buy high risk. We will be defensive. And in fact, right now there's a number of gold positions there. There's some short positions in there. And we're up quite nicely for the year, much better than the market. So if you're interested and you want to see more about it, go to investtalk.com and just click on the investing tab.
Don't ignore your risk tolerance. Use our free risk analysis tool. Try it. It's the first step to building a strong portfolio that matches you. It's there for you on investtalk.com. Just takes 3 minutes and it's free. Just click on the Invest Talk tab.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. This is Frank calling from Walnut Creek. I listen to you on 1220. And my question today is regarding China Mobile, symbol CHL. I'd like to have you take a look at it and give us what your opinion is of it. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Now, if you're going to invest in China, you have those kinds of risks that you have to deal with. And that's the Chinese risk, the economic risk, the political risk. But China Mobile is a very good company. It's a very large, $254 billion. I mean, it's huge, right? And it is pretty much controlled by the government, just so you know. A Hong Kong-based provider of digital wireless voice and data services to 826 million customers in China and Hong Kong. Okay, they make money. They'll probably continue to make money. They're going to make $4.70 this year. That's up 12% from last year. They're going to make another 11% gain next year, so $5.22. Sales are kind of flat for the last year. Up and down in a very tight range for the four quarters, but still flat. PE is 15. They're going to make $5.22 next year, and it's a $62 stock. Cash flow is very high at $9.33. Return on equity is just so-so at 12%. Dividend is nice at 2.5%. There's not a lot of bad things you can say about it, other than it is in China, so there's unknowns, but I think it's a pretty solid company. And the stock is volatile. I mean, don't think it has not. It is pretty volatile. But recently, it's been less volatile than our market, the S&P 500, so in the last year. So I do like the company. I think it's a good solid play. I'm just not interested in investing in foreign companies right now. I'm just not. China's, at some point, I'm going to tell you this, at some point, China is going to have a huge problem. I just don't know when. I don't know what shape it's going to take. It's all going to be about debt, because we've been taking on debt. Everybody's been in the world taking on debt. And China likes to hide their problems. They like to hide it. But you can't hide it forever. You might be able to hide it for a long time. Anyways, GDP was reported for the second quarter today. GDP was expected to come in for the second quarter at 2.6% growth, which is, you know, decent growth. Not great, but decent. Instead, we get 1.2% GDP growth. Less than half. And they downgraded Q1. The final revision for the first quarter was from 1.1% growth down to 0.8% growth. So here we are at 1.2% growth in this, the first quarter, second quarter first look, and 0.8% growth in the first quarter. That means 1% growth for the first half of the year. 1% growth. One. What? That is terrible. That is just terrible. I don't care how the politician can spin it any way you want. That is terrible GDP growth. And what makes us think it's going to stay at 1.2%? It could be revised up. Most time it's revised down, not up. So maybe even weaker than that. And as I mentioned earlier, the durable goods report came out this week and was down 4%. Durable goods are those things that last more than 3 years. And if you looked at the report and read it, you would have seen that it's not the consumers that's the problem. It is corporations. They will not invest in their companies. And you'll say, well, that's their fault. Why don't they? Well, because they're making less and less profits. Now, you hear all the good news about beating their expectations, but corporations aren't spending the money because their profits are down. Down every quarter for well over a year now. You think you're a CEO. You know your profits are going down. Are you going to spend a lot of money on new equipment, new factories, new software, whatever? You're going to be very frugal, aren't you? You're going to be frugal, and that's what we're seeing. Anyways, it was a really ugly report. Surprisingly, if you want a bullish take on it, the stock market didn't crash. The stock market held up okay. Of course, that's an ugly number. Now you got to ask your questions, is why is it holding up okay? Why is the market holding up and that's not a very good number? You just think about foreign money coming into our market, because would you invest in negative interest rates in your country if you were in Germany or Japan? Where would you want to go with the money? You can still get through with your questions. We still have time. 888-99-CHARGE is our anytime number, or you can send me a note. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve.
Now is a good time to call InvestTalk.
I had a question on my 401k.
We're here for you. What's your question? 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve right now on InvestTalk.
Hi, yeah, good afternoon. My name is Karin, and I am a beginner investor. I'm trying to get into a day trading pretty much. And I did a lot of research on options, and options just sound so complicating, and they are, feel very complicating. So I was looking into futures, but I know that, for example, options are really, really risk limited. You can manage your risk so much better, and there's only, you know, you can only lose what you put in. Rather than with futures, it's you can lose more than what you invest originally. So I was wondering if there is some kind of a strategy with futures as far as managing risk. All right, thank you. Bye.
Options is a very different, difficult, and dangerous a game. If you're going to try to day trade them, I wouldn't suggest you do that, if that's what I heard you say. Day trading is very, very difficult, and almost every person I ever know did it stopped. Because it just doesn't work very well. It takes a lot of effort, and it just does not work very well. Options is a very that you're right, they can be very difficult. You can make them very simple, too. You can, but there's a million different strategies. So many different kinds of ways to play options, to play the futures market. If you're a beginner, my suggestion is stay away. Stay away. You are competing. Remember, you're competing with people who have been doing it for years and years and years and years. You're competing with them. And you should not try to just learn it as you go. You need, what you need to do is find an old veteran who has been doing it for years and become his student, his or her student, and learn that way. That's the way you would learn the best. Not just trying to pick it up from reading a book. And don't think, you know, what I love, I see these people do this. Well, on paper, I made X amount of dollars. Paper is worthless. Making money, paper trading is worthless. The only thing it'll teach you is how to trade, not how to make money. Why do I say that? Because when you do paper trades, your emotions are not involved. When you're doing real money, your money, your emotions are involved. It's very different. It's very difficult to control your emotions. It's easy when it's not real. Easy. You look like a genius. 888-99-CHART. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm just telling you, don't. You're focusing on one of the most difficult parts of the market instead of the easier parts of the market, which are stocks. You know, they're a lot easier. 888-99-CHART. Bank of Japan had a release, and everybody was expecting to do something to try to jumpstart their economy, and everybody was disappointed. Remember, they have a huge bond buying program, their version of QE, huge bond buying program. They didn't increase it, but it's already huge. But they really didn't do much else. They did a little trimming here and there. But what really worried the market, and remember, they're also, just so you know, negative interest rates of 0.1%. They thought they were going to lower them even more. They didn't. But what really, really worried the market is their statement, which says they want to review their efforts and take a look at the efficiency or the quality of their efforts over the last few years. What does that mean? They want to know what the impact of their quantitative easing has been. Well, we all know, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again, when you keep doing stuff like this, it has less and less and less impact. And at this point, it's the opposite. It's hurting your economy. Hurting your economy. When you go to negative interest rates, that is hurting your economy, not helping it. Even though central banks think it is, take a look at the evidence. Don't believe me. You don't have to believe me. I don't understand why they just don't look around and say, oh, gee, there's a lot of negative interest rates in Europe. How are they doing? They're doing lousy. Oh, here, there's negative interest rates in Japan. How are they doing? They're doing lousy. So you're going to do more of the same? Isn't that the definition of insanity? Doing more and more of the same thing and getting the exact same results, but to continue to do it? Isn't that insane? I think so. 888-99-CHART is our number, everybody, and I appreciate you can call anytime, leave a message if I didn't get to your questions. Leave a message. Time is up. A reminder, my portfolio review dates for August are coming up, August 3rd and 4th in San Jose. To save your place on my schedule either one of those days, just go to investtalk.com, investtalk.com, and click on the Invest Talk tab. I'm Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, I want to thank you for listening today. And of course, we know you. We want you to get together again on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-400-8400. 877-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.